You're familiar with the Greek term koinonia. There are other, at least one other word in the New Testament rendered fellowship, but this is the main one. Look at the listing. First, look at the definition. If you go to original language tools and look at, you know, the definitions, there it is. Fellowship, communion, community, participation, sharing, association, close relationship. Then I've given you a number of uses in the New Testament. For example, the first one there, we enjoy fellowship of the Spirit. That is, we enjoy fellowship that was brought about by the Spirit. And there's some verses. Christians are called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, the world doesn't have that, but we do. Christians enjoy the communion of the blood of Christ. That is, we've actually accessed it and made it where we are spiritually acceptable to God. See, Jesus died for everybody, shed His blood for everyone, but not everybody's going to access it. To have fellowship in the blood of Christ, you have to become a Christian. Next point, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Again, look at how the world is deprived of that. The majority of human beings throughout all of human history do not enjoy that. We partake in common of the same mind as deity and of the spiritual blessings that are available. God hasn't revealed everything to us. His mind is so vast and so far beyond us, but He has revealed many things, things that we do need to know, and we partake of that. We have fellowship in that. Next, Paul was grateful for the Philippian Christians' fellowship in the gospel. That is, and by the way, look at that. You know, look how many differences you and I have in, you know, the way we look or the jobs we have. There's so much diversity, but for Christians, all of that kind of pales. It certainly is minimized and far less significant or important when you consider the fact that we share in common the fact that we've embraced the gospel and we're Christians, we're brothers together. How can that be overstated? The term is also used a number of times in the New Testament to refer to money. So you can share, you can fellowship in the use of monies. And here are some of those. The Corinthians shared with their Jewish counterparts, so Gentiles, you know, helping Jews. There's a racial thing right there. That's not supposed to be an issue between us. That's just not a factor. The Macedonian Christians made a contribution to the poor Jerusalem saints. The word contribution in Romans 15:26 is your word, koinonia. Hebrew Christians were to do good and to share, talking again about physical things, Hebrews 13. And the first Christians continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, remember in Acts 2:42, and fellowship. That's probably a reference to the contribution. In fact, several, you see, of the assembly features are mentioned there in that one verse. The breaking of bread, there's the Lord's Supper. So in one verse you have, what, three or four of the acts of worship that Christians are to engage in. And then we have a number of related terms that zero in on the concept. I think clearly James and John were partners, koinonos, associates, comrades, companions, sharers with Simon in the fishing business. So they were buddies together in that function. Paul said Titus and Philemon were his partners in his missionary activities. And that's the word. The Hebrew Christians were partners in suffering. Notice that. We fellowship with each other in our suffering. Even whether we're both enduring that at the same time or not. If you're suffering and I'm not, I'm still to fellowship with you in that. Share it with you. Bear it with you. Peter was a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, and Christians are partakers of the divine nature. Jesus accused the Pharisees of being partakers with their fathers in the shedding of the blood of the prophets. Oh yeah, they fellowshipped, okay, in a bad sense. Paul warned Corinthian Christians not to become partakers with demons. That is, brought into fellowship with them by participating in their pagan worship. So see, fellowship, when we talk about fellowshipping someone, we can be talking about agreeing with them in their doctrinal error. We must not do that. We don't participate and we don't agree with that. Paul urged Timothy to urge Christians to be willing to share, so generous and liberal in giving their possessions to others. John was a companion. There's a form of the word in the tribulation and kingdom. You know, that's in Revelation where the Christians are enduring horrible persecution from the Roman government, hostile Roman government. And John says, hey, I'm on the Isle of Patmos. I've been exiled here by the government. And I am a companion with you in that kind of tribulation. Notice also he's a companion with them in the church, in the kingdom. That's incredible. Which again takes precedency over everything else. Okay, I'm over here on this island. You're here in the Roman Empire. You seven churches of Asia Minor. You're being persecuted. But you know what? We're together. We're companions. See how our Christian fellowship transcends time, distance, geography, space, and circumstances. If all of us are striving to be faithful, then we have everything in common that matters. Christians were to separate themselves from wicked Rome lest they share or participate in her sins. Apply that to government circumstances today that you and I don't need to be associated with or supporting. The verb form, meaning to come into communion or fellowship, to become a sharer, to be made a partaker, to join oneself as an associate. And I've given you a number of verses there if you want to go back and restudy all of that. So here is a conclusion of this concept in the New Testament. 4 points. We interact with each other out of the mindset that we're kinfolk. We are spiritual kinfolk. You well know that even though God created the home, it's a divine institution placed on earth before he even put the church on earth. And therefore, it's of his making. It's indispensable. It's very important. It's a critical feature of organizing humanity on earth. That's all divine. That comes out of the mind of God. And yet the Bible goes out of its way to say, as critical as that is, as important as that is, and as much as that is to be involved in assisting you in life, rearing children and so forth, that doesn't take precedence over our spiritual family. And you know Jesus stated that so succinctly in John 10, Luke 12. Mother, father, son, or daughter, whoever takes precedence over me or means more to you or you put them first, you don't have anything to do with me. I mean, that's pretty strong, that my relationship with you, which has nothing to do with blood or genetics, is to take precedence over. It is stronger. It is more important than the relationship I have with my wife or my children or my parents. Do we really believe that and think that way and approach life from that perspective? It's common in churches where I've been when spiritual things are trying to be sorted out for blood kin to side with each other. You have a good example of that in number 16 where Korah, Dathan, and Abiram challenged Moses and Aaron's authority because they felt like, you know, we have a right to stand up before the assembly and, you know, exercise kind of some power and influence. Notice the arrogance going on there. And Moses tried to quell that and help them to understand, you're not, God's pointed you out to do certain things. You're not a nobody or left out of any sort of leadership role. And they were adamant. And so whenever Moses complained to God about it, he said, you just tell them to meet 24 hours and we'll get this thing settled. And you know what happens in between there? They got on the telephone, called, I guess, every member in the directory. And pretty much got all of them to side with them, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And so the next day when the whole assembly was gathered, man, God, we get such glimpses into the character and nature of God. He said, Moses, just tell everybody in the assembly to get away from those three men in their tents. And he went over there and told him that. And it's like, you know, they're like, it's like they didn't see the need to do that. Until the ground started vibrating. And then suddenly they're running and screaming. But do you remember the text indicates that Korah, Dathan, and Abiram's blood kin, their family, sided with them. So they went down too. They didn't have to do that. They should have assessed the situation and said, okay, now to be right with God spiritually, I'm going to have to break with my family, my blood family, my physical family, and side with my spiritual family. That's what God expected of them. He demanded it. They didn't do it. And there's other instances like that in the Bible where, yes, family is sacred. God designed it. It serves very critical roles and purposes, but it does not take precedence over our spiritual kin. And so we ought to see each other from the warmth, the familial attachment that comes with kinfolk, and have that being more important to us than our physical families. Can we do that? We can and we must. And here's a listing of some of the things. You know, we share the same Father, Elder, Brother, Spirit. You can read all of those. Look at the next point. We are united in harmony with each other on doctrinal matters that God expects us to be in harmony on. There's some room in God's kingdom for disagreement on how we see some things in the Bible. God hadn't revealed everything to us. And we can have our opinions on any number of things that God's okay with that. But there are other things where you cannot do that. We all have to be united doctrinally on and maintain the purity of the church and our relationships together. And determining those things is critical then, and staying with it no matter what. We share our physical blessings with each other. You know, there should never be a case where we get ourselves in a fix, maybe our own fault financially, that we can't turn to our brethren to help us, you know, get out of that. Not necessarily just looking for a handout, but looking for assistance in not letting this kind of thing happen. But see, we care about each other. So if you're out of a job, you've lost your job unexpectedly or unfairly or whatever, other Christians, you know, we care about it. We're not going to say, well, you know, I'm struggling to support my own family. I can't help you. Well, then we don't have the right understanding of sharing with each other and participating with each other in hardship. And then finally, we share the same aversion to and avoidance of and warring against the pagan, immoral, demonic beliefs and practices that the enemies of Christ promote. There's a high priority in our lives. When we face here in this world around us, these things that we know are counterproductive to God, Christ, His cause, and the truth, we work together. We share together our willingness to stand up and defend God's word against all of that and to stand as opponents of it. So we conclude we're comrades, we're friends, we're brothers, we're partners, we're companions, we're fellow participants in a common cause. And we always need to remind ourselves, perhaps on a daily basis, that we are together in this situation that we could easily describe as the most powerful, the most wonderful, the most significant cause in all of human history and for all eternity. You know, when somebody asks me, you know, why aren't you upset about this and joining this cause or that cause? As valid as those causes might be and as important as they might be, you know, when they involve mistreatment of fellow man or something, I don't agree with the animal rights people. You ought to be involved in protecting the spotted owl. But there are other causes out there that are big in our society that, you know, the Christian has a perspective on that comes from the Bible. But I'm telling you, if that takes precedence in a Christian's life and they become embroiled in that and that's kind of their passion, rather than seeing that, no, man, the platform from which we are approaching life is our common concern for the church and the advancement of the cause of Christ. That takes precedence over everybody and everything. Now, there's the power of fellowship that God wants us to possess.